It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. PK, speaking of this media night at
Joe,
the Super
get
Bowl.
Closer to the camera and turn the light up.
Fix the view a little bit. There we go. Ooh, that's pretty close. Pretty close. Nice
How's
close
that?
Up there. That was good. DeAndre Hopkins generated some headlines the other night, talking about how he took himself out of the game as the Titans were playing Buffalo, went and met with Rand Carthon the next day. Carthon executed the trade to Kansas City and talking about how grateful he was for all that. That's generated some reaction from Titans fans about him taking himself out of the game and the circumstances that led to the trade. I got to be honest with you, I find it really difficult to care about this. He's gone. The guy who executed the trade and brought him in is also gone in Rand Carthon. So I think there's a lot of talk about this and very little bite to it from my perspective. What about you? What do you make of what DeAndre Hopkins had to say of him pulling himself out of the game before the trade?
I agree. I don't like him pulling himself out of the game, though. I don't remember where that game was or whatever. He said they weren't calling anything for him.
I know they were getting smoked in that game.
Yeah. So maybe they were just trying to get out of that game at that point and probably running some clock.
Was it Buffalo?
It was.
Yeah. So they probably weren't calling a lot of stuff for anybody in the pass game at that point. I don't love him pulling himself out. And look, I would like to think that was trade time. And he was one of the trading commodities that they have. I don't mind a respected veteran, you know, letting his feelings be known. But I'd like it to be a business decision and not a – I know fans love this idea. Oh, get the guy to somewhere where he could win a Super Bowl and treat him right. I'm not into that at all. I'm into – making a business decision, getting yourself the best price that you can. And so if the Jaguars were offering the best return, they should have traded him to the Jaguars. Now, I have no reason to believe that's the case. But in my estimation, Rand was far too concerned with being a dad or brother or uncle figure to these guys and not concerned enough. Now, he wasn't around enough to really see the consequences of that in terms of not being a businessman with these guys, because he didn't get to the end of the road with a lot of them where you get to the part where you cut them. This is a non-story to me. It was pretty clear they were going to get to a point where they needed to trade him and some others, and the office politics or friendship part of it, I don't think is anything incredibly unusual. Joseph?
Well, speaking of, yeah, well, yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I give Hopkins a little bit of credit for like actually saying that out loud.
Yeah.
You know, but you're going to take crap for it, and he is. And yeah, it doesn't move the needle much for me. But you mentioned trade, compensation. What are you giving? You are Mike Borgonzi. What are you giving the Cleveland Browns to get Myles Garrett to Nashville?
Can't do it. First off, Myles Garrett, he doesn't control where he gets traded. But
yeah, exactly. I don't care that he wants to win a Super Bowl. Like you just said, if you're the Browns, I don't give
either.
A crap.
But they're going to get a better offer from a team that's a lot closer to winning. Myles Garrett, you know, looking to get out of a bad situation. The only worse situation, according to draft order, is here. Titans would have to give up a lot, and it just goes against – Rand Carthon might have done the deal, but it goes against what Borgonzi and Brinker are saying in terms of gathering picks, drafting and developing, and being patient and slow. Guy's a franchise changer for sure. And I'm not suggesting that Abdul Carter is going to be Myles Garrett by any means. But if you're taking the path that the Tennessee Titans are taking, and I'm not saying Abdul Carter is going to be the pick, if you're choosing between what it would take to get Myles Garrett and what it would take to get Abdul Carter, especially if you could trade to three and get Abdul Carter, you've got to go Abdul Carter.
Well, and also,
okay, PK, put that headline, Robbie. PK says Abdul Carter better than Myles Garrett. There we go. Good analysis.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, where the Titans are right now, you know, Myles Garrett's 29. He's still a great player, and he'll probably still be a great player for the next few years. But, like, if you drafted Abdul Carter, you're talking about a 22-year-old at that point. Like, it just the clock right now from the Titans part of this, I'm not sure makes a ton of sense to give up what they would have to give up to go get him based on where they are with the rest of their roster right now. Like, they're still a ways away, even with Myles Garrett, from being truly competitive.
You've got to try to go find your own Myles Garrett. It's a lot harder, a lot easier said than done, but – you know, they've got to find some stars of their own yep. instead of shopping other people's stars. It's going to be fascinating to see. But, you know, I would bet the odds are that Myles Garrett's team is the Browns.
Could be, yeah. I mean, look, that if you listen to them, they say that they're not going to trade him. Now, we'll see how that actually works out when push comes to shove here, but that's been their stance on it. Let's head back to –
I think the Browns, by the way, are overcast as dysfunctional.
They got a quarterback problem.
Deshaun Watson thing destroyed them, and that was a terrible ownership thing. But Stefanski's a good coach, and their roster is not bad.
Oh, it's pretty good.
They became dysfunctional over the Deshaun Watson thing.
Yep.
And a failure, you know, Flacco took him to the playoffs a year ago.
Yep. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Edward.
Good morning, gentlemen. So – this assumption that Lajarius Sneed will be back healthy and be our number one quarterback outside, I wonder if, you know, we're underplaying or undervaluing, I should say, the relationship that he has with Bergonzi. I mean, Bergonzi traded him. He didn't – was part of the people that traded him. He didn't want to pay him the contract that he has now. Fully acknowledge circumstances are different. Casey had to pay their quarterback. We didn't. So we have more money to do that. But I just wonder if that's something we should keep an eye on and not make that assumption. He knows him full well, has a history with him, and didn't want to pay him in the first place. So I just wonder how that's going to shake out this offseason.
Yep, thanks for the call. Yeah, PK, your thoughts on the Sneed part of this with Borgonzi?
Well, Andy Reid couldn't say enough good things about Sneed. Now I know he's on his way out the door and all of that. But Kansas City loved Sneed. Now got out from under him early instead of late, which is what good teams do. But, I mean, what are they going to do? His trade value is low. He's coming off a serious injury. They're not going to be able to get a third for a guy they gave up a third. So their path with Sneed is pretty much dictated by the situation. He's got to go into camp. You're looking for him to be your number one corner. You're hoping that he's healthy. And you don't have many alternatives with that. What are you going to do, flip a guy that you gave a third up for a fifth or a sixth? It's not.
Well, since Bergonzi is the one who got the draft pick, does it count the other way for him? You know, I'm sure he was like last year, he was like, wow, good thing I don't have to worry about him being healthy anymore. And now it's like, oh, now I have to worry about him being healthy again.
Yeah.
But like at this point, like, you just got to hope he's healthy. Like, that's the strategy for the Titans right now because you're not moving him. Like, to PK's point, like, you're not getting anything for him right now. So you have to hope that whatever the issues were with him this year with basically a year off, that he's healthy and ready to go next year.
You hope it's a freak year and you hope you can get 2 years out of him now.
Yeah.
I would imagine his new guaranteed money is over after this year. I don't have the contract in front of me.
If you get Sneed for a full year, let alone two, at like 80% of what he was in Kansas City, that does not justify at all the trade or anything like that, but it's like there's value in that. There's definite value in that.
Well, yeah. And there's nothing you can do about the trade now. Like, the trade's done. The guy who made it's gone, so, or at least part of who made it is gone. So we'll see if he can get on the field this year. I mean, same thing with Owusu, right? Like, they just were not on the field together this past year. So if they can get on the field together for a substantial period of time next year, how good can the secondary be? It's a lot of hoping. I realize that.
Now, Boganzi's thing related to this is that third I helped the Titans give up, I need to help the Titans get back.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharski. Take your thoughts on our text line. Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Player guests are Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg. That's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Duncan fans, come experience the new age of the grand opening of the new Duncan location in Brentwood, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Duncan will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 a.m. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be out there broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m. We'll have Preds tickets to give away as well. So looking forward to seeing everybody out there on Friday. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program, taking your questions on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK, a lot of conversation as we continue to inch, and I stress inch, closer to the NFL draft over the next couple of months here, about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. A lot of conversation about that at the Super Bowl this week. And quite frankly, most of what I'm seeing, hearing, reading is continuing to illustrate, I think, further and further that a lot of people view these two guys as not worthy of the number one overall pick. I've seen a lot of Shedeur Sanders doesn't have a first-round grade. A lot of people talking about how they don't believe he's a first-round quarterback. Cam Ward, not as many saying that he's not a first-round quarterback, but very few that I've found that consider him to be worthy of the number one overall pick. Now, it doesn't mean somebody won't take him. Doesn't mean the Titans won't take him. But what do you make of the conversation around the quarterbacks right now, specifically those two, and how that relates to what the Titans could end up deciding to do with the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, that really is the widespread buzz, though. Pete Thamel said from the Senior Bowl, you know, the growing buzz was that Ward would be the guy. Now, he's coming largely from the college side,
yep,
obviously. Ben Kirk, the former quarterback, said, you know, he's got a source telling him that Titans people like it. I think all of it. I wrote a piece on Monday just saying it's ridiculous to think that the Titans have any conclusion at this stage. They haven't met Cam Ward yet, right? Their Southeastern scout probably has a really good feel for Cam Ward. Everybody else, you know, to varying degrees has a film feeling on him. But Borgonzi's coming from a team. He's been on a job like 18 days. He's got a feeling. But he coming from a team where maybe he was looking at the quarterbacks a little bit, anticipating that maybe I get a job with a team that needs a quarterback. But he had a full-time job with a team that did not need a quarterback. So Brinker maybe has a good feel. Callahan, you know, just started looking at these guys. The idea that they've got some firm opinion where they just met Sanders and they aren't meeting Cam Ward until, like, I think Miami hasn't publicized its pro day, but I think it's March 23rd. So a ways away still. Combine, they won't meet him for 3 weeks. It's just crazy to think that they formulated any strong opinion. And it's crazy to think that, you know, the film alone is going to do anything for them without having met him.
Do you know the start of free agency date, PK?
No, mid-March. Whenever Ravenwood High School is on spring break, that is when free agency starts.
March 12th.
Automatically.
So, you know, that's because obviously the pro day can be critical information, but also the Titans may have, by the time they get to pro day for Cam Ward, they may have a starting quarterback for next
year. Here's my question for you, though. Who is the starting quarterback they could sign or even deal for that would eliminate the possibility of them, in the eyes of the league, drafting a quarterback?
Well, we talked about this this week already. I mean, to me, the three quarterbacks, and again, how they acquire them, we don't know. We don't know what Minnesota's going to do. But it would be Darnold, Stafford, and to me, Rodgers, only because, you know, to me, Rodgers is a guy who's like needs to be the guy. But those would be the three. If you drafted one of those three, or not drafted, if you acquired one of those three players, then to me that tells me you are doing something other than quarterback in this draft. Anybody else, you could do both.
I think I
would eliminate Rodgers from that, by the way.
I think this is Atlanta did the whole league a favor where, and I know Penix wasn't number one, but I don't think there's anybody available that automatically takes quarterback off the board if you loved Ward.
I mean, PK, if you either sign because he's free agent or you make a deal, which means you're giving up something of value for Sam Darnold, you still think that then you might draft one of these guys at the very top of the draft when your roster is complete garbage?
Yeah.
No, you have to get a player.
Sam Darnold, I guess you would be signing as a long-term guy, so maybe Sam Darnold. But Stafford, to me, at 36, and I love Stafford. Stafford would absolutely be my first choice with a big gap between Stafford and anybody else. But I think if you're getting Stafford, you're giving up some kind of decent draft capital, and I don't think they want to give up draft capital, so I think it's highly unlikely he's the guy. But an ideal Stafford thing is he's your quarterback this year. I don't care what's behind him. Next year he'd be in front of a rookie, and the third year he'd be probably gone. But outside of that, and I think the Darnold stock is down. Who was your third one? Rodgers. Yeah, I can't see Rodgers happening. But Rodgers would definitely play this year, but I could see you sitting a rookie behind him. I don't like the idea of not having your first round pick be a factor for your team. But so I punch a hole in all three. I don't think they're getting Stafford because of the cost. I don't think they're taking Rodgers because of the headache. And I don't think you can forecast Darnold as a long-term guy. So I'd scratch all three. You go to the next one, and there's no reason not to draft a quarterback to go with him because he's unreliable. The next one being Carr or Cousins.
Which then leads to the question of what happens if you don't like any of these quarterbacks in the draft and you're not getting Stafford or Rodgers in free agency and you can't get Darnold because he's tagged and he either stays or is traded elsewhere in Minnesota. Like, not great options out there in the quarterback run for the Tennessee Titans right now.
Here's the other thing. People don't necessarily have to believe you're taking a quarterback at one. They have to worry about other people coming up to take a quarterback at one that's not you.
Right, exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more with PK coming up next. Take more of your questions on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. By the way, got some wristbands to give away, a four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show coming up at the Opryland Convention Center Thursday, February 13th through Saturday, February 15th. It's awesome. I've been. You're going to want to go.
There will be some traffic.
There will be.
There. That's the thing is, if you don't know that's going on and you're like, hey, I'm going to go shop, and you stumble into that.
It could be rough.
Man, I've done that before for events like that, and I'm like, oh, man.
Be caller 5. You'll win a wristband, a four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation, 615-737-1025. Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kenston to the program. Kenston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. I want to call and say I just subscribed last week to PK site. Love the site. Love the work that you did with James Foster. Been following him for 4 years now, so definitely hold his opinion with football stuff in high regard.
Thank you very much. James Foster debuts this morning with the Shadur and Cam Ward piece. Check it out at paulkowarski.com.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great piece, man. Like I said, James has been great for about 4 years now. He's up there with Brugler and those guys for me. The question is, so many people are either or vet QB or rookie QB, and if you go vet, trade the pick. But I want to ask, do you think that two things can happen at the same time? That I'm looking at a guy, not like Darnold, because I don't think lightning's going to strike twice with him. I will be very wary with him. But with a guy that has history with Callahan that's likely to be cut in Derek Carr, and you get him, but you also keep the pick and take Ward, kind of like a Kirk Cousins Penix situation. You have your guy now, you have your guy for the future, and what the possibilities of that would look like going forward. Yeah, you wouldn't get the draft capital from trading, but you would have the satisfaction of knowing that you have a top-of-the-line guy, that even if all these guys who are saying that these guys aren't ready, and I don't want to believe it, but if all the guys who get paid money to know this stuff are saying the same thing, you got to kind of take that into consideration. What do you guys think about that? Eager to know. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kelsey.
So he's asking about both,
yeah,
like doing both. The thing about doing both is, you know, it's awfully hard to start the veteran and look at your number one pick as a non-contributor. And then you've got that veteran on the field and you're looking at some other position. Right tackle is not as good as it could have been because you spent the pick on the quarterback.
Edge rush. Right?
Yep. Or you've spent money on that quarterback that you could have spent on something else. So it's a difficult thing to do. On the other hand, you say, well, it's quarterback. You got to do everything you can at quarterback. But, like, look at where Atlanta is. Atlanta's the primo example. I mean, they spent a fortune on Kirk Cousins. Too much. I don't know what drove the market on Kirk Cousins and who else was bidding. Joe, you're like Kirk Cousins' patron saint. You can contextualize what the bidding was there for them to give him the contract they gave him. But then they draft Penix, what, 10,
eighth
11,
overall.
12,
yep.
8th.
Yep.
And, you know, Kirk Cousins could have used more around him before he got benched. And then once he's benched, now they're in a eat a number situation.
Hey, Nick, make sure you clip that up. Robbie just said, edge rusher, yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to reading a depth chart at some point. We can put it in our show intro.
Edge rusher,
right tackle, long snapper. Good stuff.
So on the quarterback thing, I don't trust any quarterback in this draft, so I'm out. But I don't like that plan even more.
The double?
You know, yeah, yes, of course that can work. But I think if you do that, man, you better really do some work in free agency to fix your team so that you're not like an embarrassment on a weekly basis and just getting handled like you did last year. This team has so many needs. So if you actually believe in one of those quarterbacks of the draft, just do that then. And, you know, and I don't know what you do at the beginning of next year. I mean, I think either of those guys could potentially be day one starters. It happens. If not, you know, somebody on the text line is asking PK about, do you think it ends up still coming back around to the Titans keeping Levis? Or it could be, you know, it could be one of these other just lesser, you know, bridge guys like a Jameis or something like that to caretake the position for a month. But if you believe in those in one of these quarterbacks, do that and then start to partially fix your incredibly flawed roster.
Well, I agree with that. How do we feel about later quarterbacks? I'm out on anything if it's not one of these two guys. And I think it won't be one of these two guys, or I think it shouldn't be one of these two guys.
No.
Certainly not that high. But these other guys, Dart and Milroe and the Syracuse kid and all, I'm not interested in a second round quarterback. I sure as hell am not interested in a fourth round quarterback. They just don't work. I mean, Joe, I'm with you on bet against the first rounder. The bet against the fourth rounder can't be, you know, bigger. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I think another factor in the both conversation is how much money are you paying the veteran quarterback? Like, who's the quarterback that's coming in, and what's the money look like? Because I think there's a difference, right,
long.
Between, like, yeah. It's one thing if Stafford's coming in, like, he's going to make a pretty hefty amount of money. Like, if you went and got Darnold, first off, the Darnold part of it's different because I do think it would have to be a longer-term answer. If it's Justin Fields as your quarterback, you're probably getting him pretty cheap. Like, you could do the Justin Fields start for however long until you feel like a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders was ready. But I think there's a difference also in the money that you would have to allocate for some of these guys to bring them in as your start, and how that influences the resources that you're then able to use for the rest of the roster.
And to the texter's point, like, we got to get over this. Like, keep Will Levis on the roster next year. I don't really have much doubt about that. You know,
I don't know. Like,
is he playing?
Is he on the roster?
Well,
He's
on the roster through camp. Then it's a three quarterback question, maybe. But dumping a second round pick in year three is really something. When quarterbacks are a commodity, when Malik Willis has come back to bite you in the ass, that's dangerous.
Yeah, like, I threw out there, look, is it possible you're a team in this league and you just absolutely love Kyle McCord and you look around and you do your homework and you're like, guys, we can get him in the third. Like, no one else is on him. Then fine. But when the Titans took both of these last two guys, they were taking flyers on them, right? And if they loved him that much, they wouldn't have taken it. So taking the flyer because, okay, I guess he's at the top of the board. Again, especially when you're this limited and you're this in dire need of good football players all over the field, hell no.
Yeah, and that third that you're taking a flyer on him with belongs to Kansas City.
Exactly, and again, right. It's one thing also when you don't have a quarterback, but they did this with Tannehill too, right? Like you took a third round pick on a guy that you're taking a flyer on, and a second round pick on Will Levis, and those could have been roster players that helped your team at that time as well. And now you've gone with two quarterbacks that didn't ultimately end up giving you that much. And look, I have no idea who they could have drafted beyond those two guys, but if you drafted a couple of starters there, how much different is your team right now? Like, it's what you, there's
you're
so lot, many.
You're
holes.
Less desperate somewhere.
Yeah, like there's so many holes
bomb.
Right now that it's a tough sell for me to go the veteran and drafting the quarterback number one. Like, to me, if you're drafting one of these quarterbacks at number one, they probably need to play.
That's
next
it.
Year.
Yeah.
So we did the math, right? We did this like last week or the week before. I went through all the first round quarterbacks. What, the Super Bowl era? Is that what I did, Robbie?
Yes.
Right? Super Bowl era. And so basically it came out to 20%, 1 in 5, worked out to some extent. It's way less than 20% because I heard somebody, I think I heard Trevor Maddich was still saying, these top of the core, these first round quarterbacks is 50-50. No, it's 20-80, and the 20 is still, the two thirds of that is still not what you hope, but good, right? And the thing about the whole quarterback discussion is every year now, this is a positive development for a team in the Titans situation. Every year, there's so much more quarterback movement and so many possible opportunities. I understand if you get decent next year, now you're not at the top of the draft and maybe Arch is amazing or whatever, and you can't get there. But there are different ways to address it, more different ways to address it year to year. To me, which should dissuade teams from making the, we had to have a quarterback. Let's talk ourselves into Shedeur Sanders and just do it. It should. I don't know that it will.
No, I agree. And, I mean, look, you went further back. Just look at the last 10 years. I think there were 8 number one quarterbacks. Burrow, the slam dunk. Second slam dunk in that group, Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't been good.
Yep.
Who's the second best of that bunch? Might be Baker Mayfield, who's had ninth coordinator in 9 years. He didn't do it for his first team, which was a dysfunctional team. I mean, it's not a good list. It's not a good list. And that's first pick in the draft, first choice.
Right, that's the clear number one, right. Not like this year when it's like, maybe.
Yeah, well, you're forcing it. You're quarterback taxing yourself.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with PK. More of your questions to get to on the Titans. We'll get into some Hall of Fame stuff with PK as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. By the way, Got some wristbands to give away. A four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show coming up at the Opryland Convention Center Thursday, February 13th through Saturday, February 15th. It's awesome. I've been. You're going to want to go.
There will be some traffic.
There will be.
There. That's the thing is, if you don't know that's going on and you're like, hey, I'm going to go shop, and you stumble into that.
Could be rough.
Man, I've done the, I've done that before for events like that, and I'm like, oh, man.
Be caller five. You'll win a wristband. Four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation, 615-737-1025. Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kenston to the program. Kenston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. I want to call and say I just subscribed last week to PK site. Love the site. Love the work that you did with James Foster. Been following him for 4 years now, so definitely hold his opinion with football stuff in high regard.
Thank you very much. James Foster debuts this morning with the Shadour and Cam Ward piece. Check it out at paulkowarski.com.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great piece, man. Like I said, James has been great for about 4 years now. He's up there with Brugler and those guys for me. The question is, so many people are either or vet QB or rookie QB, and if you go vet, trade the pick. But I want to ask, do you think that two things can happen at the same time? That I'm looking at a guy, not like Darnold, because I don't think lightning's going to strike twice with him. I will be very wary with him. But with a guy that has history with Callahan that's likely to be cut in Derek Carr, and you get him, but you also keep the pick and take Ward, kind of like a Kirk Cousins Penix situation. You have your guy now. You have your guy for the future. And what the possibilities of that would look like going forward, yeah, you wouldn't get the draft capital from trading, but you would have the satisfaction of knowing that you have a top-of-the-line guy, that even if all these guys – who are saying that these guys aren't ready, and I don't want to believe it, but if all the guys who get paid money to know this stuff are saying the same thing, you got to kind of take that into consideration. What do you guys think about that? Eager to know. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kenson.
So he's asking about both.
Yeah.
Like doing both. The thing about doing both is, you know, it's awfully hard to start the veteran and look at your number one pick as a non-contributor. And then you've got that veteran on the field and you're looking at some other position. Right tackle is not as good as it could have been because you spent the pick on the quarterback.
Edge rusher.
Right?
Yep.
Or you've spent money on that quarterback that you could have spent on something else. So it's a difficult thing to do. On the other hand, you say, well, it's quarterback. You got to do everything you can at quarterback. But, like, look at where Atlanta is. Atlanta's the primo example. I mean, they spent a fortune on Kirk Cousins. Too much. I don't know what drove the market on Kirk Cousins and who else was bidding. Joe, you're like Kirk Cousins' patron saint. You can contextualize what the bidding was there for them to give him the contract they gave him. But then they draft Penix, what, 10, 11, 12, 8th. And, you know, Kirk Cousins could have used more around him before he got benched. And then once he's benched, now they're in a eat a number situation.
Hey, Nick, make sure you clip that up. Robbie just said edge rusher. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to reading a depth chart at some point. We can put it in our show intro. Edge rusher, right tackle, long snapper. Good stuff.
So on the quarterback thing, I don't trust any quarterback in this draft, so I'm out. But I don't like that plan even more.
The double?
You know, yeah, yes, of course that can work, but I think if you do that, man, you better really do some work in free agency to fix your team so that you're not an embarrassment on a weekly basis and just getting handled like you did last year. This team has so many needs. So if you actually believe in one of those quarterbacks of the draft, just do that then. And, you know, and I don't know what you do at the beginning of next year. I mean, I think either of those guys could potentially be day one starters. It happens. If not, you know, somebody on the text line is asking PK about, do you think it ends up still coming back around to the Titans keeping Levis? Or it could be, you know, it could be one of these other just lesser, you know, bridge guys like a Jameis or something like that to caretake the position for a month. But if you believe in those in one of these quarterbacks, do that and then start to try to partially fix your incredibly flawed roster.
Well, I agree with that. How do we feel about later quarterbacks? I'm out on anything. If it's not one of these two guys, and I think it won't be one of these two guys, or I think it shouldn't be one of these two guys, no. Certainly not that high. But these other guys, Dart and Milroe and no. The Syracuse kid, and all, I'm not interested in a second-round quarterback. I sure as hell am not interested in a fourth-round quarterback. They just don't work. I mean, Joe, I'm with you on, like, you know, bet against the first-rounder. The bet against the fourth-rounder can't be, you know, bigger.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think another factor in the both conversation, how much money are you paying the veteran quarterback? Like, who's the quarterback that's coming in, and what's the money look like? Because I think there's a difference, right?
Long.
Between, like, yeah. It's one thing if Stafford's coming in, like, he's going to make a pretty hefty amount of money. Like, if you went and got Darnold, first off, the Darnold part of it's different because I do think it would have to be a longer-term answer. If it's Justin Fields as your quarterback, you're probably getting him pretty cheap. Like, you could do the Justin Fields start for however long until you feel like a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders was ready. But I think there's a difference also in the money that you would have to allocate for some of these guys to bring them in as your start and how that influences the resources that you're then able to use for the rest of the roster.
And to the texter's point, like, we got to get over this, like, keep Will Levis on the roster next year. I don't really have much doubt about that. You know,
I don't know. Like,
is he playing?
Is he on the roster?
Well, he's
if
on
they
the
draft
roster. He's on the roster through camp. Then it's a three quarterback question, maybe. But you know, dumping a second round pick in year three is really something. When quarterbacks are a commodity, when Malik Willis has come back to bite you in the ass, you know, that's dangerous.
Yeah, like, you know, I threw out there, look, is it possible you're a team in this league and you just absolutely love Kyle McCord and you look around and you do your homework and you're like, guys, we can get him in the third. Like, no one else is on him. You know, then fine. But when the Titans took both of these last two guys, they were taking flyers on him, right? And if they loved him that much, they wouldn't have taken him. So the taking the flyer because, well, okay, I guess he's at the top of the board. Again, especially when you're this limited, and you're this in dire need of good football players all over the field, hell no.
Yeah, and that third that you're taking a flyer on him with belongs to Kansas City.
Exactly. And, again, right. as we, it's one thing also when you don't have a quarterback, but they did this with Tannehill too, right? Like, you took a third-round pick on a guy that you're taking a flyer on and a second-round pick on Will Levis, and those could have been roster players that helped your team at that time as well. And now you've gone with two quarterbacks that didn't ultimately end up giving you that much. And look, I have no idea who they could have drafted beyond those two guys, but if you drafted a couple of starters there, how much different is your team right now? Like, it's what there's so many holes.
You're less desperate somewhere.
Yeah, like there's so many holes
completely bombed
right now that it's a tough sell for me to go the veteran and drafting the quarterback number one. Like, to me, if you're drafting one of these quarterbacks at number one, they probably need to play next year.
Yeah.
So we did the math, right? We did this like last week or the week before. I went through all the first-round quarterbacks. What, the Super Bowl era? Is that what I did, Robbie?
Yes.
Right? Super Bowl era. And so basically it came out to, you know, 20%, you know, 1 in 5. Worked out to some extent. It's way less than 20% because I heard somebody, I think I heard Trevor Maddich was still saying, yeah, you know, these top of the core, these first round quarterbacks is 50-50. No, it's 20-80, and the 20 is still, the 2/3 of that is still not what you hope, but good, right? And the thing about the whole quarterback discussion is every year now, this is a positive development for a team in the Titans situation. Every year, there's so much more quarterback movement and so many possible opportunities. I understand if you get decent next year, now you're not at the top of the draft and maybe Arch is amazing or whatever, and you can't get there. But there are different ways to address it, more different ways to address it year to year, to me, which should dissuade teams from making the, well, God, we had to have a quarterback. Let's tuck ourselves into Shedeur Sanders and just do it. It should. I don't know that it will.
No, I agree. And, I mean, look, you went further back. Just look at the last 10 years. I think there were eight number one quarterbacks. Burrow, the slam dunk. Second slam dunk in that group, Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't been good.
Yep.
Who's the second best of that bunch? Might be Baker Mayfield, who's had going into the ninth coordinator in 9 years. He didn't do it for his first team, which was a dysfunctional team. I mean, it's not a good list. It's not a good list. And that's first pick in the draft, first choice.
Right. You know? That's the clear number one, right. Not like this year when it's like, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you're forcing it. You're quarterback taxing yourself.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with PK. More of your questions to get to on the Titans. We'll get into some Hall of Fame stuff with PK as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.